Worship His Majesty unto Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you, Father, that we can call on you for help. And Lord, oh God, that you will always be our present help. We have no doubt. We give you praise. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, for protecting us from all evil and from all harm. Lord, this day, let every agenda of the enemy be brought to naught. Let your sons and your daughters be protected from the evil eye. Let your grace abound, and let your name be exalted, O God, in the midst of your people. Your word says, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Lord, certainly we are gathered here because of you, because of your name. We didn't come here for politics. We didn't come here to be religious. We came here, O God, to continue our steadfast and fervent relationship with you, in knowing you, our God, so that we can be men and women, sons of the Most High, that do exploits. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the grace accorded us to know you in a very personal, intimate way. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we declare it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're thankful for his grace and thankful for the special meetings that just got concluded 2 days ago. We had three main special meetings, one connected to Rosh Hashanah, the second one connected to the Feast of Atonement or Yom Kippur, and the third one connected to Sukkot. And the last one we themed the abiding grace, abiding grace. May the grace of God abound and abide with us. Amen. In just a few weeks from now, November the 7th to the 9th, we will have another special meeting. It's a meeting that I encourage you not to miss, a time of getting to know not just God, but having clarity on certain things that we as individuals and as a body may have been going through. It is going to be a very powerful time. And we are going to have meetings on the Friday night at 6:30, Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and Saturday evening at 6:30. Then, of course, on Sunday, 10 a.m., and in the evening at 6:30. So five powerful sessions where we're not just going to hear the word of God, but the saints will be ministered to. Prophetic words are going to go forth. There are going to be deliverances that will take place in the lives of people, direction and guidance given, and on. So it promises to be a powerful, powerful time. Do spread the word. Let others know. Like we see here, your friends, family, friends or enemies, it doesn't matter. Spread the word. Amen. We are going to possibly have some posters available so that you can help post it in different spots. But we encourage that you do most of that electronically. Get the poster and send it to as many of your contacts as possible. And encourage them also to send it to their contacts. Amen? Praise God. Well, we have been studying the book of Proverbs, I think, for 2 years now. And maybe a little bit more than 2 years. And we're in the 15th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And last time we were together, we went up to verse 4 of the 15th chapter so that we don't get stuck. With restating the previous verses and not covering much more than that, we're going to just continue on from the fifth verse. And the fifth verse says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction." A fool. Despiseth his father's instruction. The word is the word evil for fool, evil. And if you were to try to spell it in the English, you'll spell it with an E, you spell it with a V, you spell it with an I, you spell it with a Y, and an L. If you take the Y out, it spells evil. And if you take that Y out, and Y represents you, a fool is an evil you. A fool is an evil you. They'll be always asking, why me? Why this? Why? Now the why is you despise your father's instruction. I've seen that happen so many times. People are growing up, the father, the mother gives an instruction of guidance, and they despise it. They don't take it as serious, as a priority. And later on in life, things become very difficult. They're not making it, because when they were being told to study, don't hang around those friends, those guys that say they're your friends. That's not your friend. Ah, what do you know, old man? Now you're old and you're not a man. Be not a woman. I was going down Main Street maybe about 5 hours ago. And just by City Hall, there was a young lady. I couldn't tell whether she was young or old, but she was bent over and struggling, still in one spot. And the Lord says, pray for her. So I began to intercede for her and pray for her. Pray for her, pray and pray and pray. While the red lights were still on. And after I prayed for her, the lights came on and I was going across. She straightened up and I could see her face. She was a young lady that has aged quite a bit. I don't judge her because I really truly believe God is going to do something extraordinary with that young lady's life. But for something to happen, there's got to be a connection to following instructions. As believers, we need to follow instructions because we have a Father. Ultimately, we have a Heavenly Father, and He gives instructions. He says, I want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. Don't touch that. Don't play with this. But many times we sort of stick our hands in our ears, start muttering whatever it is that we mutter, to blunt out or block out what God is saying, blot out or blank out whatever our earthly father is saying, or somebody who is a leader, a spiritual leader, or even a natural leader. He says, on the flip side, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent, is wise. He that regards reproof, he that regards instructions given. They might be, the person is trying to do something, is corrected, he says, and regards it. He says, that person is wise. Why? Because that person is a person that is going to shut down anything that will want to derail them in their life. And God calls us to having an understanding of that. Be wise, don't be a fool. Because being foolish and not listening to instruction is going to radically turn you away from a life of destiny and purpose. Right things demand discipline. It takes discipline to do the right thing. When you choose to do whatever and live an undisciplined life, you end up in a place where discipline will come into your life, but not in the positive sense. See, when you look at that word discipline, it has two meanings. First meaning of discipline has to do with focus, understanding, working purposefully. You are disciplined in a proper focus. But the word discipline also means being corrected harshly, because you did not correct yourself. In essence, if you don't correct yourself, you will get corrected. And it will be on the basis of another person's judgment. And that's the irony of life. In essence, everybody goes through discipline. When you've been talked to and people are saying, don't do this, don't talk this way, and you hate me, you this, you blah, 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 blah. And you end up no friends, no relationships. You think everybody hates you because they try to correct you so that you can do right and be right, and well, that's foolishness. It endangers the life of a person. Now, every one of us, at one area of our lives or the other, may not be disciplined in how we handle things. I was saying to somebody the other day, at the gym, I was asking them about how their Thanksgiving went. They said, it went well. Said, except for I ate too much. I said, the calories. I said to him, the calories come easy, but they don't want to go out. We need to deal with Carl. Carl comes in and doesn't want to leave. Well, it takes discipline. not to open the door for Kyle. You know, all those calories. Yeah, you need some, but you don't need too much. Everything in balance. A father who gives instruction also learns that instruction needs to be given with a certain level of trust, or else it becomes a nag. It becomes control. And people resist control. So it's important, you know, you have an instruction to give. Give the instruction, let the person work with it and see how they do it, how they handle it. Sometimes people need reminders, present the reminder in a proper way. This is how harmony takes place in relationships. This is how things get done properly. It's not a nag. It's not overwhelming. It is an instruction. What is an instruction? An instruction is, let's say you buy a bicycle or something. It might come with an instruction manual. The instruction manual tells you about how that thing functions. The father's instruction is about talking to you about life. It's not necessarily you. It's about you in relationship to this world. This is how life is. I was once 18. Now I'm 60. I remember when I was 18, this is the kind of struggles I went through. And so you're going to meet this, and you're going to meet that, and this is how you handle this. When you face this kind of a problem, this is how you face it. When you come across this kind of a situation, this is how you deal with it. Don't go to those kind of places. There is danger there. Don't go there. Don't even sniff it. Don't gaze at it. If you see a sign of it, go this way. Oh no, I'm mature, I'm spiritual, I'm capable. Yeah. Until your head is hanging in the poles because you didn't listen to instruction. You thought you can do it in your own strength and in your own ability. That's how people mess up. People mess up because they don't follow instructions. And when you find yourself dabbing with stuff that you shouldn't dab with, cut it off. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if your hand is going to cause you to sin, cut it off. If your eye is going to cause you to sin, pluck it out. And basically what he was saying is, don't let any of your members get connected to that which is going to disrupt your life. This is life. There is evil in this world. So don't mess with it. Praise the Lord. So when God reproves us, when our fathers reprove us, it behooves us to rethink, embrace what is being said. And God says, that is prudence, that's wisdom. Then it goes on in verse 6, it says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. That's powerful. God is saying to us that if we are righteous, there is much treasure. In the house of the righteous are wealth and riches, the Word of God says. There is much treasure. Also connotes that there is much to be treasured. Something of importance. A treasure is something that has importance, has value. That's why I say treasure. Something that other people would like to have. It says, in your house, as a righteous one, there is so much that other people want. What's part of this treasure? It's not just finances. It is the peace of mind. It is joy. It is the ability to know the favor and the goodness of God, that you're blessed and highly favored. And those are things that you don't mess around with. See, the thing about favor is it is very fragile. And things that are treasured are very fragile. Favor can come into your life and you can destroy it in a moment. I have a son, a spiritual son, that is going through some very rough waters. And I know the day that everything fell apart for him. It was just in a statement he made. People may not have heard it the way I heard it, but I heard it. I said, oh my Lord. There is trouble. You know, there's a place where confidence becomes pride. He made a statement, and what I heard was pride. And I knew he was in trouble. What can I do? Just pray. But he has to come to that place where he himself recognizes that he stepped beyond where he's supposed to be. And today he's struggling and he's drowning. But doesn't want any help. But I know God will bring him to his rightful place, to his right mind. Because when, as a righteous man, you do not recognize the treasures that you have, you abuse it. You begin to break things that are of importance. You begin to tear down relationships that are important. One of the first things, other than the word of God being preached, One of the fundamental things I learned from my spiritual father was not in what he said, but what he wrote to me in the first letter I received from him. He says, power flows through relationships. And I froze. It was in the middle of the letter. And I froze. I said, he's telling me something here. And I began to meditate on that. Power flows through relationships. I stared at it. I meditated at it. I said, never forget this. That's an instruction. Hold fast to relationships and make sure you choose the right relationships. Don't connect with the wrong thing. Because the power that flows through relationships flows in, can be good or bad. You connect with the power of the bad will flow into your life. You connect with the power of the good will flow into your life. So, deal with men and women that stand in righteousness, because in that house, there's treasure. Don't go find the best of God in an evil house. You know, in the West here, we don't, well, in the old West, they did arranged marriages. But in the modern West, and in most of the parts of the world that are influenced by the culture of the West, people get married because of I love you. It's been proven that the arranged marriages last better than the so-called I love you. Why? Because the fathers and the mothers investigate the family that you're going to get married to. Sort out things. Are there thieves in this family? Are there drunks in this family? Do the men and the women fool around in this family? Are they generous in this family? When they take out all the positive things from that family that they desire, and they see that that family is a family that wants to go ahead and accomplish things, they bring, actually sometimes the arranged marriage happens when the boy and the girl are still maybe 5 years old in some cases. And they bring them together and say, this is your wife, this is your husband. They've not met each other. And because of purpose, they grow in love. They didn't fall in love. They grow in love. And they continue. Meanwhile, the ones that fell in love fall out of love. Everything suffers the power of gravity. That's the reality. You know, you might be getting married to some skinny person today and give it 20 years and a few babies and you have a truckload. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm having too much fun. In the house of the righteous, there's much treasure. In that house where there's righteous living, if the members of that righteous house are following the instructions of the father and the mother and are growing the things of God, you know you've got treasure. You know you have stability. You know you have victory. You know you have purpose. You know, because the pedigree is good. This came out of the right spot. Even in a natural, when you're breeding, horses or bulls or whatever, you choose the right family to get the best results. Yeah? It is so. And God, I know you've seen it from just one perspective. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. And what I'm saying is, part of that treasure is everything that's in that family, in that house. Everything that's in that house is part of that. But then it says, but in the revenues of the wicked, whatever it is that the wicked is accomplishing, there's going to be trouble at the end. Oh, that's a very wealthy family. But where did that money come from? How did they get that money? Did they do it by cheating, lying, putting other people down? Well, you attach yourself to that, there's going to be trouble at the end. So we need to know certain things with the eyes of prayer and understanding. The revenues of the wicked, in it is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Wise people expand, they spread knowledge. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The heart of the foolish doeth not so. Now, this foolish here is a different word. And this word here is the word kesil. And it means the heart of the stupid. Basically, that's what he's saying. Stupid people don't disperse knowledge. People who act silly don't disperse knowledge. What is the word of God saying to us? He's saying simply, you see somebody that is stupid, don't expect to learn anything from them that is going to be worthwhile. People with a foolish talk have no wise thing to tell you. Only wise people disperse knowledge. They disperse knowledge because they are learned. They've learned. I was doing something with one of the sons in this house this afternoon. And he's talking about, and we're actually thinking about, I was with him for about an hour or so. We're doing some final touches to some of the things that had been planted. And harvesting this, harvesting that, and in the process of talking, I said, Mama knows a lot about so many things. She has a lot of information because She spends time listening to stuff that will improve her. So she has all this information from here, from there, from that, and you know, and wow, knowledgeable. Because she wants to have information. So she will listen to documentaries and learn from that. Sometimes learning is not only because you were reading something. It's also from listening to what has been documented. That's what a documentary is, yeah? Things that have been documented. It's like somebody reading stuff to you. And the lips of the wise send out information. There is a program, I need to get it for myself, that helps people learn a lot about different things. So let's say you have 1,000 books from every possible journal. And what this program does, it summarizes the most important things about each book, puts it together. So if you read or listened to that information, you have a general strong knowledge of what that author spent writing this 500, 1,000 pages of stuff. They go right to the core of it, pull that information, and now you listen to it. Now you know that book. You know what, you know, the whole flow of things. And if you're interested in going even further, you can do some more details on that. Well, wise people collect information. And they practice the information they have. Wise people also understand that they don't know everything. That other people know things that they don't know. The same thing goes for any aspect of living. As a pastor, if I think I know everything, that's the day I declared to myself and everybody else, you know nothing. I know where my strengths are, what God has given to me. I need to know that and disperse that knowledge. But I also know what, when I see something that somebody else has that I don't have, I tap into that. I like that. I want some of that. And in the lips of that wise person, that which they have comes into my life. And that stops me from being stupid and silly. Or as it says here, foolish. Always be willing to learn. Always understand that there is more to life than what you know. And have the willingness to embrace information that helps you build up yourself in your most holy faith in God. Amen? And let me wrap with this. He says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. This is a verse that basically says to us that a God who loves to receive sacrifice does not accept every sacrifice, especially when it's a sacrifice that is birthed out of wickedness, a sacrifice that is a revenue of the wicked that brings trouble. One of the prayers that I pray now and again, as often as the Lord leads me, is, God, don't allow evil resources come into my hand. There are certain things that can come into your hand that rob you. Instead of adding to you, they subtract from you. You and I don't need that. God says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Oh, I brought you 20 oxen. And God says, no, what I see here is 1,000 pigs. I don't want anything from you. Get out of here. But Lord, it's a sacrifice. Yes, an abomination, that's what I call it. This is bad money, bad sacrifice, evil. I want nothing to do with it. But watch what he says next. But the prayer of the upright is his delight, not the sacrifice, the prayer. He says, I'd rather have the prayer of an upright person than the sacrifice of a wicked person. Now, if you're an upright person, then you know that part of your prayer is your sacrifice also. It's a foregone conclusion. It's not to be discussed. It's a known fact. So I don't need to repeat to you about the sacrifice of the upright is his delight. But I will say the prayer of the upright. Because in coming into my presence, you're coming with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But the first place when the upright is coming into the holy place, the outer court, the holy place, and then to the most holy place, is the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice. So it's a foregone conclusion. This person's coming to pray. Yeah. There's a sacrifice. There's a song. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Everything is a sacrifice for the upright. And God says, I delight in that. But I don't care what the wicked is doing. It's an abomination to me if it is not in line with the purity of my word. So today, in all that we've been talking about, this is what we have to conclude. God wants us to be people who operate in wisdom, people who follow instruction, people that are guided consistently in recognizing that they have treasure in themselves. Treasure. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. I have treasure in me. And if I have treasure in me, I have to make sure that I safeguard it. Don't allow any pollutant, any ravine of the wicked to come and create trouble around me. I follow instruction and I regard reproof. I don't see it as a negative. I see it as something that I need to learn and grow from. When we do so, life becomes a blessing. Let us be reminded that relationships are important, and be careful what kind of relationship you embrace and bring into your life. Know who it is that you're hanging around. Are they adding to you, increasing you, or are they depleting you? You're hanging around a stupefied person, silly, or somebody that always has something to say. And when you step out of their presence, say, I learned something. I'm better because of this, because of what I heard this person say, because of what they told me, how they guided me, how they helped me. A wise man is the one who comes, hears God's words, and does them. A fool comes, hears the word of God, but doesn't do it. So who do I want to relate with? The person who's doing what they have heard, or the person that hasn't done it? Jesus, our Lord, said, a father gave instruction to two sons. He said to one of them, he said, I want you to go into my vineyard and do such and such. And that one said, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He goes to the second son, says, I'd like you to do such and such. He says, okay, sir, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. He said, but he did not go and do it. But the first one said, I'm not going to do it, turns around and goes and does what he said he was not going to do in the first place. He says, which one of these two is a good one? So there's a place for repentance. And we repent not only by saying, I repent, but by doing what God said. The one that said he was going to do it and didn't do it, depleted himself. Wherever we find ourselves, we'll find ourselves doing that which is pleasing in the sight of God. You may have struggled at the beginning, but turn around and just do what God said. That's the important thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us grow up as men and women that are upright, men and women that are faithful, men and women that desire your will done in the earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us, cleanse us, and help us not to be fools, not to be silly and stupid, but rather to be men and women that are wise. Father, we reject evil from our lives, foolishness. It is a fool that says in his heart, there is no God. May we never be that. May we always be men and women that recognize that you are God, sovereign, everywhere present, and that neither us nor any other entity can hide from your presence. To recognize, O God, that because you see us and you love us, that you are fighting for us, making certain that we live lives that glorify you. That's the kind of life we want to live. Lives that honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we decree it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, next week we will continue from verse 9 of Proverbs 15. Amen. And until then, be reminded that Friday is prayer meeting. We will be here at 7 o'clock for prayer meeting. And this time I encourage you to honor God with your giving. Honor God who has honored you by blessing you and has committed himself to be sovereign Lord in every area of your life. The one who rebukes the devourer for all of our sakes. The one who has opened the heavens and poured out his blessings upon us. May he bless us and cause us to flourish and blossom on every side. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, say goodnight to those on Facebook and YouTube at this time. And I turn my attention to those that are on Zoom. Praise the Lord. We have today, Brother.